From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Andrea Seabrook. Turkey's parliament took a controversial step today toward allowing greater religious expression. Lawmakers amended the constitution and lifted the ban on women wearing Islamic headscarves on university campuses. The issue of headscarves has polarized Turkey, which is both overwhelmingly Muslim and institutionally secular. The change was introduced by Turkey's ruling Justice and Development Party, which has Islamist roots. It provoked fierce debate this week in the parliament. When the constitutional amendments passed today, thousands of Turks took to the streets of the capital, Ankara, to protest. In a few minutes, we'll hear from two Turkish women on either side of the debate. But for some historical context, we turn to Soner Çağatay. He's a senior fellow at the Washington Institute for Near East Policy. He says the Turkish notion of secularism goes back to the 1920s, and the founder of the modern Turkish state, Mustafa Kemal Atatürk.
He was inspired, as all the statesmen of his period would be, by France. France was the epitome of state building and statecraft in late 19th and early 20th century world. Atatürk was a French reading intellectual, and he would have been inspired largely by work of French sociologists and French political scientists. He set up Turkey as a nation state built around the idea of a unified national entity. He also set Turkey up as a secular state in the model of the French system that provided a political space in which religion would be seen as a private matter, but it would not be brought into politics.
It's not like here in the U.S. where you can wear a cross around your neck and no one thinks about it.
The European system of secularism, because it is built out of a history where secularism rose as a movement in response to the domination of political sphere by one religion, in Europe, it has grown as a movement to provide freedom from religion. There's another way of describing that. It's, with the French word, it's known as laïcité. That's the French word of being secularism, not just a fancy word. But it also denotes something very different. Whereas the United States was founded, at least in part, by and for people who escaped religious persecution in the old country. So here, secularism has meant freedom of religion.
Why has this issue come up in Turkey now?
I think what we're seeing in Turkey is the following. The headscarf issue, also known as the turban debate in Turkey, was eventually going to be taken over by the ruling party, which in its election platform before it came to power in 2002 promised that it would deal with this issue and it would legalize the headscarf. So this issue was bound to happen, and it chose to happen in 2008.
Soner Çağatay is a senior fellow at the Washington Institute for Near East Policy. Thanks very much for coming in.
Thank you.
The headscarf ban was enacted in 1982, but Turkish authorities didn't begin enforcing it until the late 1990s. The amendments passed today, lifting the ban, apply only to traditional headscarves tied under the chin, not the more conservative Islamic burqa or chador. Those are still forbidden on university campuses and government buildings. The headscarf amendments are a topic of passionate debate, not just in the parliament, but also among Turkish women. Women like Zeynep Piade, an English teacher in an elementary school in Ankara, and Canan Arin, a lawyer working for a women's rights organization. They both join us by phone from Istanbul. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you.
Let me start with you, Zeynep Piade. I understand you wear a headscarf. How are you feeling today with the news today that people like you who wear a headscarf will be able to do so at universities?
Well, of course, it's part of the solution. But what worries us is what's going to happen to these girls after they graduate now.
What could happen? What is your worry?
Up until now, the girls had to go overseas to university. So are they expecting the girls to go overseas to work now? Because they're not going to be able to work after they graduate from university anyway.
With a headscarf, you mean?
Yes, we want the ban to be lifted altogether, not partially.
Are you allowed to wear your headscarf when you teach school?
No, I'm not. I have to take it off within the school boundaries.
Let me turn to you, Canan Arin. You work for a women's rights organization. Do you believe that women should have the right to wear a headscarf at university?
Women work to get their rights for ages, not only for Turkish women, but for all over the world. We worked so hard to gain some rights. Now, today, we are going backwards and trying to cover our hair. Why? To please men. Because headscarf is the problem of men, not women. Because they will be extremely provoked if they see their women's hair. This is so funny. It is a man's interpretation of religious laws. It is a patriarchal approach to the religion. And they will ask us to have chadar because men can be provoked from our body. Then they will ask, we have to have burqa because they can be provoked from our eyes. Then they will ask us to stay at home, not to go to the society at all because they will be provoked. We are not born to please men.
So, John and Arin, you do not see it as a question of personal freedom for women?
It's not personal freedom because they start sending their children to Quran courses at the age of 4, and then they have been changing the whole society. If you are raised learning that if you open your hair, you will go to hell and you will be burned and it is a sin, then how can you expect that girl to open her hair? They are aiming to change the whole society gradually. We didn't have such problems, they say, 20 years ago. But they went on and on and on the business. And now we are going to have to apply the nearly Saudi Arabian way or Iran. The whole women in Iran covered their head within 3 years. So this is it. What do they want us to be? Iran or Saudi Arabia? No, thank you.
Let me turn to you, back to you, Zeynep Piadeh. What do you think of this idea of the headscarf being a male-driven patriarchal symbol?
Well, I think this description in itself degrades women because it's based on the assertion that women do not have the capability of thinking for themselves and making their own decisions on what they should wear. I decided to wear a headscarf on my own and against the will of my family. How can someone else decide my reasons for doing something, anything?
So let me ask you this. What do you think of the argument that allowing this in government buildings and government universities is the first step to an Islamic state?
We by no means want to be like Iran or Saudi Arabia or any other country that says they are Islamic, because we believe that they are not run by Islamic rules but by people's lust for power. They're just abusing Islam. And we want to live in a democratic country, a really down-to-earth democratic country.
Zeynep Piadeh and Canan Arin spoke to us from Istanbul.